For Keith Jarrett, the question is, should improvised music last forever?
I used to think recordings shouldn't last. If they're improvisations, they should self-destruct, like Mission Impossible. On a certain date, they should just, psh, they're gone. And for the artist, that's probably a good, that would be a great thing. For me, that would be good. If my old stuff would just disappear, I wouldn't have to necessarily have people hooked on it and not able to listen to what's coming next. They could be hooked on it till 1963, then it would be gone. And that way, they would know who I was as time went by instead of, oh, you're the one that recorded the Cohen concert, right?
Keith Jarrett is indeed the one who recorded the Cohen concert, the 1974 improvised concert in Cologne, Germany, that outsold every other solo piano record in history and made Jarrett into a major star. He played similar concerts in Paris, Vienna, Lucerne, and New York. He took long-form solo improvisation into new territory and filled concert halls and spawned imitators. Then he got chronic fatigue syndrome and disappeared from the scene. Jarrett returned to the piano after some absence, but as a trio player. And then finally, 2.5 years ago, he went to Osaka and Tokyo and played solo once again for the first time since 1995. The results of his re-entry were released earlier this week as a 2-CD set called Radiance. Jarrett loves to try to make himself into a blank slate, but this time he had to try to find a new way to do it.
I prepared for these concerts, which is not what I used to do when I did solo concerts. I used to unprepare for them. I used to go away from the piano, not listen to piano music, make sure I didn't develop habit patterns at the keyboard. In order to do that, I had to stop playing.
But when Jarrett became ill and began his recovery from the debilitating illness, he couldn't play unless he was training every day to rebuild his pianistic strength. Unpreparing was a luxury he couldn't afford this time.
So when I had these concerts coming up, I had to go to the exact opposite side of the world and become someone who is training for an event, an athletic event, but who has no idea what sport they're going to be involved in. That's a perfect analogy. So I had 3 or 4 ways of approaching these concerts, and I had to prepare for them all.
As usual, Jarrett tried to deliver an experience to the audience while attempting to have one himself. In fact, what he tried to do was to re-experience his own creative impulses in a way.
If you play enough and often enough, you can't get away from yourself. I mean, there's no way to get away from yourself. And, you know, even though you're creating a different universe every time you play, it has similarities that only you might have put together in that particular fashion. I didn't even want that. I wanted to find out if it was possible to allow universes to be created without my participation in the way I used to participate. And especially as it involves the brain and the heart.
He wanted to surprise himself.
So what I did was, I said to my left hand, you're not very busy a lot of the time. I want to see what you know that I don't know, and let you start to play, just play. And my left hand was going all over the keyboard, creating this clumsy, hanging, non-tonal plays. Here was an opportunity for me to find out what my hands knew, is the brief way of explaining this. And my hands started to play things that I never would have conceived of. Now, I could say probably half of those things I didn't like, half of those things I did like, but the combination of those things was new. And because it was new, it gave me something I never got from playing. It was this free place that was, in a funny way, attached even more to me, but not so much to my thoughts.
So Jarrett prepared. He took his preparation into the concert hall with him and came out with a 17-part recording, parts of which he admits confounded his audience. Some of the time they didn't know what he was up to, so they didn't even applaud between sections, which Jarrett saw as an advantage. He could just go on, not hampered or influenced by the audience response. A lot of the music is in that clumsy, hanging, non-tonal place he describes. But he can prepare all he wants. He can try to surprise himself. But he's still that same melodist with that same somewhat sentimental streak. He can't shake it all. So he comes back to that, and back again. And he's still as devoted as ever to playing in the moment.
All we have is the moment, and if all we have is the moment, and we can't know what that moment will create down the line, if we don't pay complete attention to the moment, then we're sort of wasting attention. Or fabricating something. And I'm not so interested in fabricating music. You know, I'm more interested in actually experiencing it along with the audience.
Audiences are still interested too, it seems. Jarrett's CD is selling briskly in its first few days of release. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.